Good evening. Good morning. I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm okay. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there as well. And I'd like to welcome all of our visitors here as well. Thinking about death, thinking about the second coming of Christ, these things will happen one way or another. You could die at any moment. And I know that can be scary. But as a Christian, that's something we should not fear. Because we know the moment we take our last breath, if we are faithful, if we have lived a faithful and obedient life for Christ, we know where we will be when we wake in the next. But if we do not die before the coming of the Lord, what a wonderful day that will be when my Lord Jesus I shall see. Because we know in that moment that we are done with the struggles, that we are done with temptation, having those daily battles with sin. So a few questions here. Are we prepared for either death or the second coming? Do we give attention to the condition of our soul? And do we care about lost souls? Those are questions we need to answer. Because if it's no to all three, then we need to reevaluate our life and our priorities. Because yet again, there will be a day. Either we will take our last breath, or the Lord Jesus will be back. And there will be fear for those, regret for those who are not prepared. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The very powerful parable. And we see throughout Scripture about Christ's second coming and final coming. And Christ here with this parable is trying to help those who are with him understand you must be prepared. In the first five verses here of Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. The wise and foolish, as we see here, 5 wise, 5 foolish virgins. The wise had extra oil with their lamps. They were prepared. The foolish had no extra oil. There are many today who proclaim to be wise, but they are foolish. There are many who proclaim, I'm prepared, but they're not. Their souls are lost. Their souls are separated from God. They do not have God, yet they may believe they do. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Paul is telling Timothy here, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Imagine for a second that Timothy would have not been taught by his grandmother and mother the Holy Scriptures. He would have never known the truth. He would have never come and became a man of God and followed Christ. And of course, he would not have been following Paul and working with Paul. That would have been foolish for him not to learn. You know, growing up as a kid myself, my grandparents would take me to worship every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever the doors were open, youth events when I could attend. Of course, sports. I did play sports. But I thought about it a couple of days ago. If they would have never taught me the truth, I don't think I would have heard the truth. If it wasn't for my grandparents, I don't think I would have ever wanted to become a preacher. I would have never had that desire. I wonder where my life would be today if I would have never become a Christian. And the answer is simple. I'd have been lost. I'd have been condemned, not having the hope of eternal life. That's the greatest gift they could have ever given me. The greatest gift ever. For young Timothy here, that's the greatest gift that his mother and grandmother gave him. And now look, he would be in Ephesus, ministering to the church in Ephesus. But Paul here, once again, writing to him, encouraging him, telling him, this is what you need to do. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Paul would have taught him. Paul would have helped him, mentored him through this journey. And of course, without the Holy Scriptures, he would not be wise for salvation. He would have not learned and known about Christ. But now he is prepared. Now he is ready. He is wise, not through worldly standards, but through God's standards. He is wise. Godly wisdom is far better than worldly wisdom will ever be. We see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's this very book that we have. And of course, during this time, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have it in book form. But they would have had the old law. And of course, the teachings of the apostles. But today, we have the entire Word of God, inspired Word of God. And this is the only place we can learn how to be saved. This is the only place we can learn how to be righteous, how to be justified, sanctified. And yet, many will proclaim, yeah, I'm ready. But is it according to Scripture? Is it according to your own opinion? Is it according to man's doctrine? Sadly, there will be many who have fear on the day of the Lord. In 2 John, starting in verse 7. 2 John, starting in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Once again, John here would have been dealing with false teachers, and they would have gone out into the world, and of course they were antichrist. And when we look at the word antichrist, man-made doctrine will teach that there will be one antichrist that rises in the last days, and will be well at first, but then will deceive many. But once again, John would continue saying there have been many antichrists. The antichrist are the ones who reject Christ, simply put. They rejected that he came in the flesh. And so they are antichrist. They reject that truth. These are people who are foolish, because they do not hold the doctrine of Christ. People of the world, people who are in sin, are foolish because they continue to reject Christ, the truth, and the only way to the Father, as we see in John 14, 6. He's the way, the life, and the truth. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only way to go to heaven. It's through no one else. But for the wise, they are careful. They watch every step they take. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand what the will of the Lord is? By being wise, walking in a manner that is godly, doing what is right, remaining in His Word, having a prayer life. You know, we need to communicate with God through the smallest decisions to the biggest decisions. We should always seek His counsel. We should always seek guidance and direction. But once again, without Christ in your life, you do not have that. The wise understand how important time is. Do you? I have known people who have told me, I'll come to Christ when I have time. You don't have time. Time waits for no one. You know, what's amazing, it feels like just yesterday we started the year 2025. Now guess what? We're almost halfway through the new year. I'll take it a step further. It feels like just yesterday I graduated high school. Now I'll be 32 in July. I'm still not old. I'm still a young buck. But yet, 32 years has flown by. You could step out that door this morning and drop dead. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that you could drive home, and Lord willing, none of this happens, but you could be driving home, get into a wreck, and die. You could lay your head down tonight and take your last breath. I don't think a lot of people understand how fragile life is, how fragile time is. The wise, redeeming the time, they understand how important it is. And they will use every minute, every second, every hour they can to walk as wise, not as foolish. They will understand that I need to make sure that I am walking according to God's law and not to the laws of the world, laws of man. Be wise. The wise virgins had that extra oil. They were prepared. But the foolish, they had none. And so we must become prepared. And how do we do that? Well, going back to our main text at Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 6. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. They were awoken to this sound, the bridegroom is coming. But guess what? The foolish were not prepared. And they tried to ask for oil from the wise. But of course, we may not have enough for both. Go real quick and buy. But while they were gone, who came? Bridegroom. And the ones who were prepared went in with them, and the doors were shut. Are you prepared? When we look in places like Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, talking about Noah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, emphasis on godly fear here, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah. God tells him, look, I'm sick of this world. I'm going to wipe it clean. But you have found favor in my sight, as we see in Genesis. Noah and his family had found favor in the sight of God, and he came to warn Noah, saying, I want you to build an ark out of gopher wood, very specific, the measurements, when you can look through all of it. This is how I want it done. And of course, Noah, moving with godly fear, understanding it could be, of course, we know it took 120 years. When that 120 years were up, the ark was done, and guess what happened? When him and his family and the animals were in the ark, the floods came, wiped everyone out. Imagine if Noah would have said, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I would rather go do what I want to do. I'll come and start this later. I'll come and come to you when I'm ready. God wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have saved him and his household. We need, once again, to understand, be prepared. How are you prepared? When we look at Romans 13, starting in verse 11, this is how we become prepared for what is coming. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. This is what we are called to do as Christians. You know, thinking about the Romans, they lived in a pagan nation. They had temptation all around. They had neighbors who would participate in idol worship, emperor worship. But here's Paul telling them, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How does one put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Baptism. First, of course, having faith. Apart from faith, nothing matters. We must believe. We must have that faith in God. But baptism is where we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. As Paul would write to the Galatians, if you walk by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. How do we walk by the Spirit? We walk according to the commandments of God. We follow His law. We have a prayer life. We live a life that is pleasing to Him. Yet many do not, even Christians, choose to try to hold on to a world that is perishing, a world that is temporary. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 24, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 24, therefore, Let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Here's a promise, a reassurance for those who are already Christians, that as long as you are living according to what you have been taught, which is God's word, you're fine. You'll make it. There are many. John had to deal with it. Paul had to deal with it. False teachers who were trying to deceive people, bring them from under the truth into false doctrine, into death. That's what they were trying to do. We have many who do so today. Once again, if we abide in the doctrine of Christ and we have faith, we believe it, we have faith, we trust in God, and we obey, we know that we are prepared for his coming, or that we are prepared when we do pass from this life into the next. Eventually, it will be too late. For all those people who were outside the ark, they had time. They had time to repent, but they were so caught up with what they were doing that was wrong. People in the New Testament, when Paul would go to the Gentiles, would go to the Jews, they had time. They heard the truth. They knew the truth. Some of them were alive and Christ was alive. They saw what he did, and yet many rejected, and many would die outside of Christ. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you see the condition of your soul? Once again, one day it will be too late. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This isn't dealing with the world. It's dealing with the church. The church will stand before Christ on Judgment Day. And there are going to be many Christians who think they have done right, that they think they have done enough. Well, the reality is, no, you have not. And they're going to hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. Those of the world who die in the world, their destination has already been set. There are two places one ends up after they pass on from this life. One is paradise. It's not heaven. Think of it as a waiting area, waiting place. And then there's torment. And we see that with the rich man and Lazarus, which is not a parable. It's not a parable. It happened. Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus had nothing going through his life. And the rich man had everything but did not give heed. And when they both died, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise. But the rich man was in torment. And from his description of it, with what he was saying, he just wanted Abraham to simply dip his finger and have that water dipped on his tongue because it was so bad. Think of it as a pre-trial, what you're going through. Why would you want to risk your soul and end up in torment? Because at that point, when you wake up in torment, there's nothing more we can do to help you. There's nothing more your family can do to help you. It might be too late. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These are the people who continued in their sin, rejected Christ, rejected the truth. It's been set in stone for them when Christ comes back or when they take their last breath. I think about it very often, and I try to remind myself, are you prepared? What condition is your soul in? Have you pursued lost souls? We, as Christians and as non-Christians, need to understand the value of time and how critical it is. I don't want to see none of my brothers and sisters stand before Christ and be told, depart from me, I never knew you. And I surely do not want anybody of the world to lose their souls and to be condemned to hell for eternity. I don't want any of that. And no Christian should. It should be sad. It should be terrifying that we should want to reach out to those who we know are lost and want them to come to the truth. And the brothers and sisters who have left the truth, we should want them to come back, to repent, to renew their walk. We should love them with the love of God. Yes, God loves you. Absolutely. He cares for you. He desires all men to be saved, not to perish. But understand that he will honor your decision. He will honor your decision on that day. I think about God, and I guarantee many have broken his heart because they chose to reject. Are you prepared? Once again, going through those three questions. Are you prepared? What condition is your soul in? And have you pursued other souls, lost souls? If you're not prepared for your death or for the final coming of Christ, today's the day to answer that call, to give your life to Christ, because I promise you, if you continue in the state that you're in, the condition that you're in, it's not going to end well. Don't be like the foolish virgins who were not prepared, because guess what? When we look at the end of our text, they came back and they couldn't get in. And guess what? That door was shut for good. They were not going to get in. They were cast out into outer darkness. I pray that if you are not a Christian this morning, understand God does love you, and he wants you to come to him, to give your life to him. He wants you to believe. He wants you to obey. And this is how you do it. Hear the word which has been preached to you, Romans 10:17. Believe that word, John 3:16-17. Then you must repent of your sins, change one's mind. You cannot continue in that sin. You must disown your old self, change. But then you must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, like so many man-made doctrines teach. Simply just believing, simply just having faith is not enough. It must be an obedient faith. Action must be taken. And what is that? We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3:26, Acts 2:38, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 22:15-16. I can go on. But it just doesn't stop there either. We must remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. If you're not a Christian, I pray and hope that you give your life to Christ this morning, because when you walk out those doors, tomorrow may never come. Or if you are a Christian and you have fallen back into your old ways, same goes for you. When you walk out those doors, you may not come back. And I hope that you're prepared. But if you're not and you're in sin, come forward and renew your walk with Christ. So if you need any assistance this morning, let the church assist you. Let us pray for you. Let us help you, because we do care. We do love you, and we want your soul to be right. So if you're here this morning, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.